Hello and welcome to the Pod of the Damned. I'm your host Ian, and joining me, as always, is my co-host Nico. How's it going, buddy?
I'm not bad. How are you?
I'm all right. Are you coming?
I'm definitely coming.
Especially to this film.
This would be a weird film to come to today.
It's a bit of a challenge, Wank.
It is, but I think I could manage.
I think you could. I think you could do it in really, like, shockingly quick time as well.
No.
How have you been since our last recording?
I'm slightly dying.
You're slightly dying, oh. Could you do it a bit quicker?
I've got the flu, I think.
Oh dear. Well, it's a perfect time of year for it. And it's speaking of the perfect time of year, Nico, we're doing our Christmas movies.
Yes.
I can tell you're excited about it.
I'm fucking dying, that's why.
I'm actually kind of interested about this one. So this week, obviously, for the eagle-eyed viewers amongst us, we are recording this ever so slightly out of order, because we do still have one more horror movie to bring you this year. Me and Anna will be recording that later today, which will also be live here on our Twitch channel. But this is when me and you, Nico, are able to get this recording in. So we're slightly out of order with our recordings. But
yeah.
I told you, obviously, last week that this is the movie that we would be covering. And you didn't seem overly excited that I'd picked this movie. And in my opinion, this is an absolute Christmas classic.
And it's definitely a classic.
And you did not seem thrilled about it.
It was, like, easy way of putting it is, this is one that the grandparents used to put on, and I never really was into it that much.
Well, I mean, we're going to
say that it's the first time I've seen it in colour.
Well, yeah, like, I didn't watch it in colour. I watched it in classic black and white, but I think it was for like a 70th anniversary or something like that of the movie that they, or was it some point in the 70s? I can't remember.
60th, I think it was.
60th anniversary, was it, that they decided to remaster it in colour? So, but I watched the classic.
It was 2007 and it was 47, so it would be 60.
There you go. Anywho, welcome to everyone who has joined us live in the chat. Geek, who's just joined us in the chat, and I can see a few other people who's joining us in the chat room as well. So welcome on everyone for our Christmas movies. We are the Pod of the Damned, which is normally a horror podcast that deep dives into a different topic every week in our quest to create a leaderboard of the best and worst horror movies of all time. But since we are in the middle of December, we're going to take a little bit of a break from that. And me and Nico have decided that we're going to review a couple of Christmas horror movies. Not even Christmas horror movies. We did that.
There's no horror.
There's no horror. There's no horror. Well, I mean, you know, this just sort of shines a light that life is a bit horrific, right?
Life sucks and then you die is this movie.
I do enjoy the fact that it's called It's a Wonderful Life, and it's basically about a character
it
who thinks his
really
life
wasn't.
Is basically about a character who thinks his life is horrible.
Yeah, and his life pretty much is.
We'll get into it. As you may have gathered, we are covering the Christmas classic movie It's a Wonderful Life. This is my choice. Nico's choice will be recording in the next week or so. What have you chosen, Nico?
I've chosen Dark Angel.
Dark Angel. We could not have picked two different Christmas movies. You know, if we'd gone for like, one of us could have gone for like, I don't know, Elf, and the other one could have gone for Home Alone or something like that, and we'd have had two perfectly normal Christmas movies. But no.
Nope.
We have to go for a 1940s classic, and you have to go for a Dolph Lundgren movie.
A Dolph Lundgren classic.
Yeah. Well, I think classic's going to be a bit of a stretch when it comes to that one. Is there such a thing as a Dolph Lundgren classic?
He-Man? Also a Christmas movie.
I'm surprised you didn't pick that then.
No, it's because we were talking about this, well, me and you weren't, but I was talking about this with somebody else, and it was the famous line that got me, and I'm like, we've got to do that.
What line would that be, Nico?
I come in peace.
It's different to where you normally come.
Fuck's sake.
What?
Oh, dearie me. hilarity. Let's get on with this. It's a serious movie.
If you this is a serious film, Nico. If you would like to support this podcast across our social medias, you can do so. We're on X at Damned Podcast. We're on Facebook and Instagram at Pod of the Damned. You can email us at podofthedamned@gmail.com and you can subscribe to us on Patreon, patreon.com/podofthedamned. If you're watching us live here on Twitch or you're listening to us on the download, follow us on Twitch, which is twitch.tv/podofthedamned. If you are already in the chat room and you don't do it already, please follow us here on Twitch so you can watch all of our future episodes that we will be broadcasting live as well. Now, Nico, we are going to rate this, and I've got all the normal ratings that we would do for a normal movie that we would review. Obviously, this and Dark Angel aren't going to go onto our leaderboard of horror movies since they're not horror films, but we'll still rate them and we'll keep them aside on a little separate leaderboard because I'm sure as we continue, and we've talked about it sometimes, you know, we'll probably throw in the odd non-horror movie here and there and various bits and pieces. So we'll put it aside onto its own little horror. I mean, of course, we didn't do Christmas movies last year because we took a break for Christmas, but the year before we did do Gremlins and Krampus, which can go on the horror leaderboard. So a little break for us this year. But anyways, given what you know about the critics and our followers and listeners and us, you know, what sort of score do you think It's a Wonderful Life is going to get?
I think it's going to get a 7.
Now, if that was
I think we've got a lot of viewers that are nostalgic.
Okay, well, if that was going to go onto our horror movie leaderboard, it would put it some in the region of like 40th place.
Okay.
But obviously, it's not going to go onto our horror leaderboard. No. So. Anyways, with that being said, shall we get into it?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Let us go for it. Today, we are talking all about It's a Wonderful Life.
Look, who are you?
I told you, George, I'm your guardian angel.
What is it you want, Barry? You want the moon? Just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it and pull it down.
Welcome home, Mr. Bailey.
Sentimental hogwash.
I wish I had $1 million. Hot dog! Mr. and Mrs. Martini, welcome home.
This is what I wished for.
You see, George, you really had a wonderful life.
This movie was released in 1946, was directed by Frank Capra, and stars James Stewart, Donna Reed, and Lionel Barrymore. The IMDb plot is as follows. An angel is sent from heaven to help a desperately frustrated businessman by showing him what life would have been like if he had never existed. So, you said there in the intro, Nico, that this was like a horror movie. I keep saying horror movie.
You're just determined to make it a
horror
movie.
I'm going to do this for like both these episodes. I'm just going to keep saying horror movie. You'd said in the intro about this that this was a Christmas movie that like your grandparents would put on every single year, and it just didn't really hold that sort of nostalgia factor for you.
Yeah, because as a kid, even I realised his life wasn't wonderful. And everyone's like, oh, it's so good.
Well, he
gets the shit end of the stick of his whole life.
Well, yeah, like, but I think there is obviously a deeper message in amongst that, though, isn't there? And I think, well, why don't you explain why you think he doesn't have a wonderful life?
Right, so everyone always used to say to me, oh, it's a wonderful life. Look at all the good deeds he's done. Yeah, he's done good deeds. Nobody's done fuck all for him, right? They say it's a wonderful life for him. No, he makes everybody else's life wonderful. That's the difference in this movie. It should have been Alma Cobb's life better than mine.
But do you not think that someone who does good deeds and therefore is beloved by the people is leading a wonderful life?
But no, really, apart from the end, for Abdi comes to save him, which would never fucking happen.
It would never ever happen now, but we're 80 years removed. Do you think it would? I mean, community spirit is something that is definitely, you know, lessened in our lifetimes, but it's something that was a lot more prevalent, you know, back in the mid-1900s.
It wouldn't have happened then for two reasons. One, he's accused of fucking cheating on his wife, which is a big no-no then. So that scandal would have just instantly kiboshed that. And two, fucking no way did they honestly have that much money ready to go.
What, the whole...
Getting healthy, friend, I...
The whole village? You think that whole town didn't have $8,000 between them?
Nah.
I worked it out, right? So, £8,000 then would be worth it's $8,000, sorry. Would be worth $115,000 today.
Yeah.
But you don't think an entire town of people have that much money to put together? Bearing in mind that a lot of these people are like business owners and... I mean, one person covered the entire money because Mary's ex-boyfriend, Sam, offered $25,000. So he more than covered it.
Aye, but that's... I did say, apart from the friend that's abroad, that this would never happen, right? He's the not to fucking big himself up to Mary anyway because he still fucking fancies her a bit.
He's got his own wife now.
Nah, but they definitely wouldn't have had that money.
I don't know. I think that's... I mean, like, I see where you're coming from, but I just think that's like a bit of a... So, surely you give it your suspension of disbelief or something like that. Because it's not like it's some... But it's not like it's some huge, like, ridiculous... Like, I get $115,000 is a huge amount of money, right? But we're not talking like millions and millions and millions of dollars here.
Well, that's the thing. I get that, but even then, right, taking that aside, there's no wonderful moments for him apart from his missus. That's it.
What about his children?
Well, fucking, they annoy him with the piano most of the time. He fucking gets pissed off. You can see that, though. He only likes what happened because they exist now. That's the only reason that... It's just... Folk go, it was a different time and all. Ah, fucking same still applies.
Yeah, you can't say that. Like, it was a different time.
It was a different time, but same fucking theory applies, right? You being stuck in one town, not ever managing to do whatever you wanted to dream of. And he has plenty of times to actually get out, but he gets drawn back in because other folk drag him back in. Mm-hmm. His brother fucks him over by taking another job, even though he goes, no, I won't screw you over. And he's like, it's a good money, fucking on you go. He makes Abdi Elsa's life better. That's the be-all and end-all of this film. It's like, oh, he's so rich and happy in fucking life because he's made other people's lives happy. Nah, he's not. He's made himself miserable by making other folks' lives happy.
But he, at the end of the movie, when he realises what he means to everyone, his life isn't empty and miserable.
But that's the thing. Everybody... Like, at that bit at the end, he's basically been blackmailed into it by a fucking angel going, look, if you weren't a born, this town goes to shit, one of your mates becomes a hooker, your wife becomes a spinster.
So are you essentially saying he's been gaslit into not killing himself?
Basically, aye. He's basically went, right, everybody else's life has got to turn to a big pile of shit. Your brother's got to be deed. Abdi that he saved in the war's got to be deed. As I said, your mate becomes a fucking hooker. Your wife never even gets a fucking kiss, never mind a fuck. You know what I mean? She becomes an old spinster. It's like Abdi, and I mean Abdi, Runabutum. Like, his mate that owns a restaurant would never have got the restaurant.
I do like how the definition of a spinster is someone who works at a library.
I know.
Anna makes a good point in the chat, though. He only gets annoyed with his with the kids and Mary when he, like, is away to go to jail.
Yeah, because his uncle's a fucktard.
Yeah, his uncle is a bit of an idiot.
Yeah, he is the dumbest person ever.
I mean, yeah, it's a bit of a boo-boo, isn't it? Misplacing that amount of money. And to potentially, like, the worst person you could possibly do that to as well.
But he almost has it to him, like, four times as he's fucking handed it to him anyway. You're like, what the fuck are you doing?
Eh, he's just a clumsy bugger. We're all clumsy sometimes.
Yeah, clumsy's one thing, but that's just fucking shit.
So, well, I want to, because obviously, like, you're sitting here and saying, right, that this is... Like, he doesn't actually have this wonderful life. This is your
No, it's a shitty life.
Well, no, because I think for a lot of people, you know, a lot of people who are growing up, especially when you're sort of late teens and early 20s and that, we have, like, a lot of people have big dreams and big plans to go and do things and have their dream jobs and have their sort of bucket list of stuff that they want to go and do. But unfortunately, it's just kind of a reality that for the majority of people, they don't get to do a lot of the stuff that they set out to do.
If he'd been selfish at any one of those times, he'd have got out. If he'd thought of himself at any one of them times, he'd have got out. There's multiple times he could have got out. So when he manages to talk them into not selling the bank place, he could have got out then. When they were away to go on honeymoon, he could have got out then. There's plenty of times he could have got out. He could have actually done what he wanted to do. He could have got away with his missus, and he chose to help other folk instead. He should have been a selfish bastard.
But then that would have made him a significantly less empathetic character.
But still, fuck it. I guarantee he wouldn't have been feeling like topping himself, so the angel would never have been needed.
Well, do you not think potentially that the guilt and the weight that people might have, like, the entire town might have lost their homes and been out of a job and been bankrupt would also have weighed on his conscience to the point that might want him to top himself?
Well, technically, it wouldn't have been his fault. It would have been him.
But he would have been able to. But he will have also. But he would have been able to prevent it.
But here's the thing: he didn't know he could prevent. He was just trying both times. So the first time when he's like handing out the money,
a lot of things you don't know you can fix until you try. That's kind of life.
If he'd been selfish at any one point, he could have actually got away. And
listen, I'm fully of the belief that at some points in people's lives, you do have to be selfish and you have to look after yourself and you have to look after your family. However, in the situations that you're describing here, the literal fate of the entire town is resting on his shoulders. For him to then become selfish at that point and be like, fuck the lot he is, it's just so against the purpose of this movie that it's just, it's not even worth, I don't even think this is even worth a conversation, and we're spending almost 15 minutes on it because it's so ridiculously opposite to what the point of this movie is.
The point of the movie is he's happily rich in life. No, he's not.
But he is. That's literally it. He is. By the end of the movie, he is.
But here's the thing, right? So he just manages to save at the stock market crash. He just manages to save his fucking business, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's no fucking danger. Like, when a run happened on a bank back then, it just took one cunt to take the money out, and everybody took the money out. And the very first person he offers the money to goes, yeah, I'll take the lot. So there's no danger he would have hit that 2,000 covering Abdi.
But then this is, again, the thing that we're saying. You're there saying, right, that the only time he gets repaid from the people is at the very end of the film, right? But during that scene at the run on the bank, he manages to convince all the town, you know what, no, we'll only, or the majority, yes, okay, that first guy takes his full whack, but the majority of them then say, I can survive on 20, I can survive on 1750. So the town are helping him there as well.
Aye, but that's the thing, that wouldn't have happened, that's what I'm saying. If it was a proper run, that business would have been done.
I mean, I feel like
most of those businesses.
I feel like you're getting way too bogged down in, like, absolute realities here when we're talking about a movie where an angel comes down so that he can get his wings to stop a man from committing suicide. I feel like you're getting way too bogged down in the technicalities of whether or not the run on the bank was legit or not.
I'm just using that as an example.
No, but I just feel like given the messages that this movie is trying to convey, I think ultimately this movie actually does have some very, very important messages, which I'm sure we'll get onto, and it has some very, very, a lot of stuff in this movie still applies today in 2023. I just think that's a bit dismissive.
This movie is just built round hope. That's all it is. And I am definitely a grounded person who thinks, even as a kid, I was watching it going, this is bullshit.
I guess you just, you know, hate Christmas.
It's not that I hate Christmas. Nah. Fucking. And the thing is, hardly any of this movie is a Christmas movie. It's apart from the end. Like, the rest of it is set in other times. It's just the fucking end that's at Christmas. You know what I mean? That's the other thing why they wouldn't have the money. It's fucking Christmas. It would have spent on presents.
I don't even know what to say to you right now, to be honest.
Like, 90% of people that were that poor borrowed money to cover for their Christmases and everything. That's why they used to fucking get themselves into debt. And that happened right through from then till nowadays. It still fucking happens. So, yeah, they definitely wouldn't finish that way.
Well, we might as well just all go and fucking top ourselves then, eh? Good night, everyone.
No, I'm saying be selfish, take care of yourself, and go enjoy your life.
I'm saying saying be selfish when you can be selfish, but ultimately help people around you.
Takes a gamble saving folk. I would never have taken that gamble.
So basically what you're saying is you're a cunt.
No, what I'm saying is I wouldn't be that stupid. I've enjoyed my life.
Have you?
Yes.
And you've never ever done anything selfless?
I have done selfless things, but that wasn't for me, that was for other people. And I knew I could help.
that's literally the definition.
Well, no, I knew I could help. It wasn't a gamble to help the person.
But I mean, some people live their lives like that. It doesn't mean their life is miserable.
If somebody can't be helped, I wouldn't help them.
Okay, well, I have a lot of other points, but I've got a funny feeling that this is just going to end up in... I don't think there's going to be anything we agree upon with this film, to be honest.
Like, don't get me wrong, this is a light-hearted film for folk that...
Light-hearted?
Yeah.
In what way is this movie light-hearted? This literally is a movie about suicide.
It's one of those fucking things. Oh, no matter how bad things get, you can always pull yourself out of it. Look at the fucking ending. And nah, it's not.
I mean, that's not the message of the movie, because he doesn't pull himself out of it. Other people pull him out of it.
Aye, which would never have happened.
Okay. I mean, that's fine. I disagree. But... I don't think there's much about actual debate happening here.
What do you think? What do you think about the movie then? There's my opinion. What's yours?
I mean, I've been stating my opinion very, very clearly. Like, I feel like this is a really important movie in terms of the themes that it discovers about, you know, absolutely you're saying about people, you know, being selfish, and you can see that throughout the film, and that there's many characters who go on and decide to do the things that they want to go and do. And George's absolutely, as a character, forced into a lot of the decisions that he makes. However, I think in modern times, I think we sometimes get blinded by ambition. And I think if you sat down and look at his actual life, he has a loving wife, he has a full family, he is adored by everyone in the town. He may not be the richest person in the world, but, you know, he has a lot of things going for him. And ultimately, I think he has a pretty decent fucking life. And he has a life... It's a hell of a lot better than a lot of folk out there, even today.
But here's the thing. Every single person that he basically helped out who was selfish, their life is better than his.
So what you're saying is, because he's only got a wife and kids and a decent house, and, you know, he's got a little bit of money but not very much, he might as well just top himself.
No, I'm not saying that.
But no, you said his life is shit.
His life is shit, but everybody else's
I don't
life
think that's a
was
shit
made
life.
better by him.
I don't think that's a shit
I
life.
Think
I think that's a perfectly fine life.
I think he could have had a better life with every
but
single
define,
every
define
single
a better life,
made.
Though. Define a better life.
He doesn't even get a fucking proper, like, honeymoon with his wife.
No,
They've
and
got
so
the money
and
in their
a lot
hand.
Of people did it. My mum and dad never had a honeymoon.
I'm just, that's one thing, right? It just annoys me because, like, every single person, they've got a better life than him. Like, his brother goes off and makes stupid money. The guy that he cuts the feet out of and fucking goes for Mary, he ends up, like, a playboy across the world, basically, type thing. Everybody's one is better.
I mean, in fairness,
he sacrificed his.
But in fairness, in that instance, George wasn't forced to not go into business with him. He made that choice himself.
Yeah, that's true. But
so
he
that
still
kind
didn't
of defeats.
Take it.
Exactly, and Anna makes a good point in the chat. At the very end, no, if he had been selfish and. You know, people who makes up like just because it's worked out for a lot of the people that he has helped doesn't mean it would have worked out for him if he had gone and made selfish choices. As you well know, even people who make choices for themselves, some of them don't, some of them fail. And if he had failed,
yeah,
no one in the town would have helped him if he hadn't helped them.
This is true, but here's the thing: he would have been out of the town, so he wouldn't have needed the help of the town.
Well, how do you know that? But you potentially
like,
would have needed the help of whatever town. But you would have potentially needed the help of whatever town he is in. Then
his whole thing is he wants away from there because it's like a fucking noose around his neck, basically holding him down.
But that's just his perception of it, and his perception changes. And that's the whole point of the movie. I feel very much like you're kind of missing the point of the movie. The whole point of the movie is like, listen. For some people, they can look at that life and be like, you know what, that's not the life for me. I want to go do X, Y, Z, right? Which is very much the perception of George's character for the majority of the film, right? He wants to go and do X, Y, and Z. He's been unable to for a variety of reasons, whether that's because, you know, the town needed him to so that they didn't all go homeless or all end up in the slums, or whether that's, you know, because he needed to save his father's business or for whatever reason, right? He thinks he has lived a less than life. But the whole point is that we get a series of actions that changes people's perspectives. And it's all about perspectives. My perspective is that he actually had a pretty good life the entire time.
He had an average life for that.
I mean, it's the 1940s. It's just after the war. I would say he lives a pretty good life. He could have been sent to war and fucking died on the battlefield.
Well, he can't because his brother made him deaf, saving his brother's life, remember?
Yeah.
So he wouldn't have been sent to war.
I mean, but that's literally my point. That's like, he could have been sent to war.
Well, he wouldn't because he either didn't exist.
Yes,
or
but you're just being
exist,
argumentative now. I'm not meaning specifically like he could have just went to war. Like millions of people and died a horrible fucking miserable death with fucking trench foot and his legs blown off and his fucking half his head missing in a fucking ditch somewhere in fucking France. But no, he managed to stay at home with his wife and his kids and have a pretty good fucking life.
Fucking deserter.
I wouldn't get sent to war. I'm not allowed to go to war. I'm not allowed to join the army. Does that mean that I'm got a shit life?
If you want to do that, then yeah, it would be shit.
Okay.
Do you want to go to war?
I mean, I don't want anyone to go to war, but this is what I'm saying. Like, everyone else, do you think all those other people who have been ultimately so selfish chose to go to war? Do you think that none of those...
He doesn't get anything he wants.
But do you think none of the other characters sacrifice things to go to war, sacrifice advances in their career, sacrifice relationships, and ultimately, for most of them, sacrifice their lives? Do you think they wanted to do that? It's ultimately
that's
a movie.
If you're looking at the movie, Everyone's life is better apart from.
But him. But not by the end. And this is what I'm saying. Ultimately, at the end, right? This entire movie is about the sacrifices people make for each other, right? But everyone makes different sacrifices at different levels.
But that's the thing. Fucking, he could have got out. Is what I'm saying. He could
yes,
have
but then he wouldn't have. But he wouldn't have. But that doesn't guarantee that he would have had a happier life.
Well, at least he would have tried. It's better to try and fail than never to try at all.
I think it's better to make sure you have a pretty fucking good life, and he does. He is with someone that he loves. He's got a big family. He's got a nice house. He's got a decent job. Like, for a lot of people out there, that's a pretty fucking good position to be in.
His job I
have never ever disagreed with you so much on an opinion of a film. Like, out of all the fucking horror films that we have covered, like, I think you are so far off on this movie. Like,
I always thought it as piss poor.
Okay. Okay, is there anything else you want to talk about this then?
Well, you've barely talked about it. Talk about it.
I don't know. I don't really see much point in talking about this one, to be honest.
Why?
Because everything, you're just going to shoot down pretty much everything that I say.
I'm not, that's my opinion on it.
No, that's absolutely fine, but your opinion is so wildly different to mine that I don't think there's much analysing that we can do.
Just coming from different perspectives.
Okay, well, in that case then, where do you rank this then amongst Christmas films in general? I mean, I know the answer, but...
I don't really rank it in the Christmas films. I never watched it.
Okay, there you go, see? How do you think this movie has aged?
It's a good movie for its time, but that's about it for me.
Okay. I think, look, ultimately...
Are you okay? You seem wounded by this.
Well, I knew we would have a differing opinion because, you know, you alluded to not being overly excited that we were covering this movie, but I just didn't think you would literally shit on every single aspect of it.
It's like, take for example when he does finally get with his missus, he's basically saying to her, I'm never going to get married, I don't really like you that much, yeah, just go for it, other boy, and then 2 seconds after he's snogging the face off her, you're like, that just doesn't make sense.
But do you not also? But this is where, right, I think you're contradicting yourself massively, right? Because you're saying that he's always being selfish. He's never doing anything for himself. But that's not him being selfless.
And that's the only thing that he has going in his life is that his wife and kids. You were saying, so the only time he was selfish, it benefited him.
But you're saying he had a shit life. So you're saying you're saying having a wife and kids is shit. Having a family is shit. Living a family life is shit.
No. Not at all. I'm saying he never.
It's probably the wrong word I'm using, but I just think the generalization that, unfortunately, for the majority of the people out there, and I would say like a very high majority of people out there. They live George's life. They end up potentially in jobs that they never ever wanted to end up in. They end up in situations that they never ever ended up in. For a lot of people, you know, they have children that was never ever planned and are end up getting married too young and doing all these sorts of things, right? It leads them to never ever be. And that is the case for 99% of the population. And in my mind, in my perspective... I think you're saying that means they've all got shit lives.
No, I'm one of those people who's always believed that if you've got something you want to do, you should at least try it. If you don't try, you're a failure on yourself.
But he didn't. But it's not that he wasn't willing to try.
But that's the thing, he always sacrificed his own happiness for everybody else.
Does that not make him just like, that give you so much empathy for his character?
No, I thought he was a fucking mug.
And there's where I can't have the discussion with you.
Why?
Because there's nothing to discuss, because you're just absolutely writing off the character full stop with no admissions of anything else. I can't have an analysis of this movie with you.
As you said, the only time he was selfish, he got his wife, which gave him his kids, which made him happy. Which sort of proves my point about the only time he was selfish, it sort of benefited him.
But there's no guarantees in life. And you're sitting there saying, right, everyone else has a better life than him because they were all selfish, right?
Yeah.
You're literally saying that every single other character in this movie has a better life than him.
Well, which one doesn't, apart from the...
I mean, the majority, for a lot of the people in this movie, George is just... They're just happy because George has saved them from living in a slum. So they're living, I would say, probably earning less money than him. A similar situation probably with wife and kids in a smaller home and not really chasing any other ambitions other than that. Most of them are in debt. Most of them have been living in slums. Most of them are struggling to put food on the table. So tell me how their lives are any better than George's.
I'm not saying they're not.
You literally have just said everyone else has had a better life, is having a better life than him.
Right, so every time that he sacrificed his happiness for somebody else, their life has been better. That's what I said.
But he sacrificed himself for the whole time. But he sacrificed himself for the whole town.
Well, technically not. He was just basically having a go at that guy for being a dick at the meeting about his father fucking passing.
He did when there was a run on the bank.
What, the run on the bank was fucking just the stupidest thing ever, I thought, because genuinely...
It doesn't really matter, but this is my point, right? It doesn't matter, like, essentially, right? You're right, to be honest. You're right. The run on the bank isn't, like, the most accurate thing in the world, right?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, that doesn't really matter to the storyline. This is what happened in the movie, right? How accurate the run on the bank is kind of irrelevant. The point
is... So he sacrificed his honeymoon to save a town.
I think that's a pretty noble thing.
But he didn't know that that would be a success, so...
But no one knows anything's going to be a success. You're acting like every single act that people do in their lives is somehow guaranteed for success, and we always know that things are... No one knows how anything's going to pan out.
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, you at least fucking try.
But he...
I left Aberdeen, I came back.
But he tried to, instead, but he wanted to try and save the town.
Yeah, fuck that.
But that was also his livelihood and his business. So what we're saying is, right? Right, so this is what we're essentially saying, right? He should He should essentially sacrifice his business, sacrifice his job, sacrifice his income, and potentially the roof over his family head, just so he and his missus can go on a honeymoon.
No, technically that guy was paying 50 cents on a dollar on every single loan. So he'd have still made money. You got to remember that part.
Okay, but you're also forgetting
so,
that this is...
So,
no, but you're
so
also...
He would have still been
no, but you're also... So what you're suggesting is, instead, right, is he should have went on his honeymoon and then the whole town ends up back in the slums. Because then they belong to Potter.
Pretty much.
So
I'm not saying.
So you're saying his sacrifice.
It's
his,
a good thing, but I'm saying he still have been sorted for the rest of his life.
How? Because he all he would have done is been on his honeymoon. That's not securing his future.
He was getting 50 cents in a dollar during a depression. He was getting half his money back on that fucking building's place. He'd have made...
But this is what I'm saying. Knowing the character, right? Knowing the morals of this character, do you not think that would have weighed so much more on him that the entire town is in the slums at the behest of Potter?
That's the thing. You never know unless you try. He could have fucking done that and started in our buildings and loans place if he really would.
Nah, I think I just think you're so you're so far off the mark. I think you're missing the point. Genuinely think you're missing the point of the entire film.
Okay, so I'll tell you what, right? Correct me then. Tell me one person that he didn't sacrifice himself for that didn't have their life better.
But that's the point. But that's the point of the movie. He is someone who has literally helped everyone make their lives better. That's why everyone comes together at the end of the film to help him.
That's fair enough, but he never tried once to actually help himself.
But he did, and ended up with a wife.
But
you keep making these general statements. He never once did this. Whose life isn't better than his? But that's literally the point. That's the whole point. And then it becomes so bad, right? He initially, and this is where I was talking about perspective, right? He initially was in agreement with you. He'd made all these sacrifices to help everyone else and felt like he was trapped and felt like he'd been forced into this sort of line of work and this life that he had never intended. And it got so bad that it drew him to a depression and committing suicide. And then he was shown
and then
how
he got gaslobbed by an angel.
He wished for it. He technically wasn't. He wished for it. He wished to never be born. So the angel was like, okay, there you go.
Yeah.
And this is what it would have been like. And he saw that, and then that changes his perspective.
I understand that, but that's the thing. That's only because he was scared for the reactions of everybody else's lives, not his own.
But we all live for other people. And I don't care how selfish you want to be. If you're gonna live your entire life by yourself, with no interactions with people, I'd say you're living the really shittest of lives. I'm not a big people person, but I
never said living by yourself or anything like that. What I was saying was, my philosophy is better to try.
Yes,
you fail.
Yes, yeah, okay.
That's why I see him as a failure.
Okay, I
because he never tried. At all.
I'm on the entirely opposite side to you.
Okay. Well, that's where my viewpoint comes
that's
from.
That's fine.
Like, I don't mind helping other people and shit like that.
I mean, it kind of sounds that, like but... you do.
Hey, you know me. I've helped folk before.
Uh-huh. Did you make you feel better?
Didn't I feel either way, to be honest.
Maybe you're just emotionless.
They felt better because they got helped.
Everyone feels better for it. I think wanting to help people is a perfectly natural thing.
There's nothing wrong with that. It's not what my point. My point is genuinely, he never tried.
Listen, I think what we've got to remember is, right, there are huge time passages in this movie as well, right, where we don't get to see.
Yeah.
We don't, like, this movie takes place over the course of 20-odd years? Something like that? I think it starts in, like, 1919 and it ends up in 1945? 46? Something like that. So there's huge passages of time that we don't get to see. We don't know what's going on in that time. We don't know every decision he's made. We don't know everything he's done. Yes, we know the big generals of, you know, he wanted to go out and travel, he didn't get to do that. I want to travel more in my life. I've not been able to do that. And to be honest with you, like, I don't know if I'm ever going to get to. Because of various things, right? Because of work, because of family, because of X, Y, and Z, right? That doesn't mean that that makes me a failure. When I was leaving school, I definitely didn't think I was going to end up in the career that I've ended up in. And, you know, I gave up on the career that I initially wanted to. That doesn't make me a failure.
No, but you tried, though, did you?
Nah, not really.
So, what was the career you wanted?
I was going to be a teacher.
And what did you do to actually do that?
I went to university.
There you go. And it evolved because you tried. You were working in the bar trade. And then you... realized you enjoyed that and your trade changed.
Well,
but I also
when I was doing my degree, I needed to do a further degree. I also I didn't apply to go and do that. I didn't apply to like do any sort of placements. I didn't bother with any of that, which I could have easily have done.
But did you want to do that at that point?
Yes.
So why didn't you do it? Why don't you go back to it?
Because I couldn't afford it. I don't want to do it now.
But you still tried in the first place, is what I'm saying.
But he was trying in the first place. This is what I'm saying. Like, he had plans. He had applied to go to college. He was all set to go to college. So that's trying. This is what I'm saying. This is why I think you're kind of missing it a little bit, because you're saying that he's just not tried, and I just don't think that's true. I think he has tried, but every step of the way, life has gotten in the way, and that's such a common thing for so many people.
When his brother came back, he said, "It's all right. I won't take that job. I'll do the family business."
I'm totally with you with that. His brother completely fucked him over in that instance. But would you, again...
But no, he fucked himself over, not his brother. Because his brother said, "I'll keep my word to you, I'll be a real man, I'll stick to what I said." And he's the one that says, no, you go away with her and take that job instead. Now, the thing is, there's stuff in this that he would have done that I would have done. But there's stuff in this where... as soon as he starts to become an adult, he just loses focus of what's essential to him.
Yeah, but that's such a common thing, though. This is what I'm saying. And this is where I think, right, this movie does have such an important message, because that applies to so many people. So many people.
But the difference is, he isn't actually trying to... He always...
But this is what I'm saying, and this is why I'm getting so vexed with you, Nico, because you keep making these massive sweeping statements of, "Oh, he's just no trying," but he's still got his fucking life to lead.
I understand that.
Like, he's still got his life to lead. He's still got his wife. So what is he just got? So you're saying to me, it just sounds like you're saying he's just got to go fuck everyone else.
No, he should be like, "Fuck it, I'm taking care of me."
But that would result in so much pain and anguish for everyone. It wouldn't be. I don't think we'd have much of a movie.
He doesn't know that at the time.
But we wouldn't have much.
He does not know that at the time.
But we kind of do.
No, he doesn't. Like, put it this way: when the buildings and loans is actually getting dissolved, if he'd kept his mouth shut, he had no idea that it was going to be bad for everybody else.
No, he did, because he knew it was going to Potter.
But that's the thing, he didn't know for sure that it would be doing that.
But you knew it was going to go to Potter, who's the slumlord of the town.
But he's willing to walk away at that point, and then it's not his morals that get better of him, it's the, "Oh, you're ruining what my daddy built." Well, that wasn't what you were wanting anyway, so why the fuck are you wanting?
No, but also familial pride is a big thing for a lot of people, and that's an important thing for a lot of people.
Mm.
Just because it's not necessarily important to you, doesn't mean it's not important to a lot of people out there.
Look, I just think he's a man that's missed many opportunities, and that is a failure in my book if you deliberately avoid those things all the time. But he seems like he does.
I disagree. I don't think he does. I think he on multiple occasions does attempt to go and chase the things that he wants to go and do. And unfortunately, because he is a good person, not saying that you're a bad person, Nico. But because he is
been called worse.
Because he is a good person, he is decided to forgo the things that he potentially wants to do in order to aid everyone else. And that, to me, is a very, very important message to send. Listen, ultimately, right? We're talking about these things in extremes. The life is never is very, very rarely in extremes. There's always middle grounds, right? And life isn't always black and white. Sometimes it's in colour, like how you watch this.
This was weird seeing it in colour, by the way.
Yeah, apparently, I can't remember who it was, but apparently, I can't remember, somebody who was involved with the film was still alive, and they were not happy that this was made into colour.
Because it doesn't look like it, I don't know how to describe it.
I mean, colour films had been invented by the time this movie came out. So it was
how
an artistic.
did they do it,
But that's
by
what I'm saying. So like that's why I think it's so odd that they decided to colorize this film, because it was an artistic choice to keep this black and white.
the way? But like when I was watching it in color, it seemed shitter. Like the black and white version is better.
Yeah. Well, at least I think we're just gonna have to accept that as the thing that we agree upon, right?
It's probably the only thing about this movie, yeah.
It sounds like it, because we've just had have we argued like that? When was the last time we argued like that in a movie we've reviewed?
Fuck knows.
Child's Play?
You seem very upset.
I think this. No, I think the thing for me is.
There's a special place in my soul.
No, I just think this movie does have like a really important message, and considering this movie's from the 40s, and it has a lot of, I think, it's got a lot of themes that I think hit very close to home for me, and I believe you're being very dismissive of a lot of the things that happens.
So let's go to something that might be more entertaining for you then. So, at which point would you believe Clarence?
What, that he was an angel?
At which point would you believe him?
I wouldn't. I'm an atheist.
Well, this is the thing, right? So, you're an atheist, but this angel is actually real. So, A, you've just been proven that God exists at this point. And B, which point do you believe that he's an actual angel?
I mean, I think I'd probably if
Because
I
all this
find
stuff that happened.
I think if I found all that out, I'd probably just go and top myself anyway. Because, my entire belief system's just been proved wrong. And I don't I'm not sure if that was to happen, I'd quite know how to square that away. I don't know how I would cope,
Because, well,
what I would do with that information. How would you feel if your entire, I mean, if your entire belief system was proven to be wrong?
look, I've always been that one that's like, I'll find out for him indeed if there is actually something, right?
You're an,
I thoroughly believe in God and that.
you're what not
But
you're a
here's the thing, right?
you're
Here's the
not
thing on it, right?
okay.
At the point when the car's missing through the tree and that big gosh is gone out the tree, I reckon I believe he's an angel.
I mean, what about the point where he just vanishes into thin air when he's getting arrested? Would that
See,
be it for you?
that bit's safe to work, though.
Yeah, no, I'm just, yeah, okay.
But that, so then you believe him at that point.
Fair.
But
right,
yeah,
okay.
that would do it too, to be honest. So at which point would it for you?
I'm going with I'm still going with I think I would still not believe him. And I'd think I'd just had a psychotic break.
Somebody gave you some fucking funky mushrooms or
But
something.
I
That's what
genuinely
you're
like
thinking.
it's my belief system. I wouldn't believe him. I would just think I'd gone. I'd lost it. I wouldn't believe him at any
So
point.
here's the thing. If your belief systems prove wrong, you would believe it anyway. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, like. You can't.
Because that's just fucking stupid.
No, like I'm not saying that. But that no. That what I was saying is that's what I would have to accept if I was to believe it. I would have to accept that
Oh.
my entire belief system was proven wrong. But I wouldn't
Ah.
believe him because that's my belief system.
But that's what I'm saying. You get proven, right? This is the thing, right? If you're a true atheist and you get proven wrong and God actually exists, that's fair enough. Fucking,
But there is nothing.
that's what
But this is
happened.
what I'm saying, though. There is nothing that could happen that would prove that to me. Because if something like that happened,
Well, an angel getting sent to Earth to stop you if you top yourself might prove it. That's
no.
what I
But
mean.
this is
It's
what I'm
so
saying.
take that
No,
into
but
context.
no. That it wouldn't prove it to me, because I would genuinely think it's not real. I've had a psychotic break. I'm not being facetious, and I'm not trying to be funny. That's genuinely what I would think.
That's insane. Because
I don't
people can
understand how
get
that's
proven wrong, though.
insane.
Because, well, yeah, like, fucking the sky is blue, it turns red one day, it would be red. You know what I mean? It's things will get proven wrong.
I don't know what to do with that sentence that you've just said.
the whole Red Sky Night Shippers delight.
Right, I really have to catch up with the chat because Anna's been typing away furiously in the chat. I think she's been trying to mediate between us, but I've just been kind of ignoring it. So I said that he only gets pissed off with his... This is all from Anna. He only gets pissed off with his kids and wife because he's stressed at work, which we did talk about. Nowadays, people's families still get ruined because they don't open up about what's going on.
Very true.
She kind of has to agree with both of us. She can see it from both of our sides. But at the end of the movie, we see what would happen if he was selfish, as you would have, as you attained. I think that's ever so slight.
You don't see what would have happened if he was selfish.
But you kind of do. I mean, she says it's literally the same.
No,
as
you
if,
don't.
She says it's literally the same if he was never born. Obviously, there would be slight differences, like his mother would recognize him, for example, and whatever else. But it's the same theory, right?
No, it's not. It's point blank, not because he would have definitely made bank. All
right.
The fuck is
bank? I'll get her on.
Definitely.
She'll come on here and she'll argue with yours.
That's okay, but it's...
Even if he left the town, it doesn't mean he would have had a better life. Oh, Nico's frozen. What a shame. I'm so upset.
You're frozen.
Oh, no. Oh. You came back. I was like, oh, you frozen. What a shame.
Did you? I'm like, what happened there?
She says, even if he had left the town, it doesn't mean he would have had a better life.
That's not what I'm saying either.
No, but it's also true.
What I'm saying is, he would have at least tried.
Yeah, I understand that you're wanting him to try. I disagree fundamentally that he hasn't tried. That's where our basic disagreement comes in, and you don't seem to be understanding that I'm not I'm not fundamentally disagreeing with you. I'm fundamentally disagreeing with you that he didn't try. He did try.
Well, he never fucking left, did he? At all.
Apart from the odd holiday here, I've never left Aberdeen. I've never lived anywhere else.
Did you want to, though?
Yes. I don't want to now.
I just said, do you want to? And you said yes.
No, I wanted to.
No, do you want to?
Right now, no. At previous times in my life, yes.
But this is what I'm saying.
But I never tried. This is what I feel like you're very much changing the goalposts every time I prove you wrong.
I'm not. I am saying this, what you are feeling in the moment, or what you are feeling in the moment, you should always fucking go for it. So, I asked you just now. Do you still want to leave Aberdeen?
No.
So do you still want to leave Aberdeen? No. Then it's evolved from when you did want to leave Aberdeen.
But when I did
That's
want to...
That's understandable.
But when I did want to, I didn't try.
But why did you not try then?
Because my family and my work were all here.
But they were things that you wanted to do. That's the thing.
This is what I'm saying. These were... Right, let's move on because we're just going round in circles. Right, continue on.
No, but what I'm saying
No,
is,
no,
like...
we're just going on. Oh no, Nico's frozen again. That's a shame. Here he comes.
Did you hear anything I just said there?
No.
Nope. Froze again, did you? So what I'm saying is, youth is wasted on a young is what a lot of people say. No, it's not. Do fucking shit when you're young. That's the point where you can make up for the fucked up shit that you've done.
But I also think that, I also believe that, you know, you're never too young.
I also think that too, but here's the thing, right?
But then those two beliefs are completely contradictory to each other.
My stuff, no it's not.
Yeah, they are. Okay. Of course they are. Do shit when you're young,
you
but you're never too
young.
You're
young. Yeah, because fucking, like, here's the thing.
So how can you do shit?
Until you're tied down with things, let me finish. Until you're tied down with shit, you are free to fucking adventure and do all the fucking shit you have planned in your life. That is the point in your life where you can make up for any fucking mistakes you've done. Go fucking live. Because if you're one of them cunts in a nurse home goes, I have done this and I've done that and I've never ever left this fucking street that I'm living on now. That is one of the most boring lives you've ever lived. And my point
to
is,
you
are always, to everyone.
Not to everyone.
You always hear them cunts going, "Oh, I wish I had done this when I was younger. I wish I had done that when I was younger."
Are you telling me though? Are you telling me though that I was younger? Are you telling me though that you're sitting there and there's not one thing in this planet that you wish you'd done?
There's plenty, but it's evolved. That's what I'm saying. If you've tried and it's evolved to someone else,
right?
That's
okay,
fine.
But then, right, was, okay, no, okay, no, hold on, right? So you're saying your perspective can evolve.
Yes, but what I'm saying is you fucking try when you've got that means.
You're saying your perspective can evolve. That's literally been my entire argument for this past hour about the point of this movie is that his perspective
but he's
changes.
Never tried.
He's never fucking tried.
He's never left.
Oh, right, we are really just going in circles now, and we will fall out at this point. I'm not convincing you. You're not convincing me. We're very, very, very clearly just at the complete opposite to this. We are as opposite on this movie, I think, as you can possibly get. I think we're going to be in agreement on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chris has just joined the chat. Says, perfect time to come in. Vexed me is the best. Do you think I'm at my best today, Dinko? Am I annoying you?
I think you're annoyed by me right
now. I think this is possibly a very, very good time to remind everyone that me and Nico are friends.
Yeah.
And when, you know, when I hit the stop recording button, all of this will be forgotten.
Will it? You seem to nod there like...
I was waiting for you to say something, to be honest.
Look, I don't give a... I could have a fist fight with somebody and speak to the following day. I don't give a shit.
I've seen you do it.
Exactly.
Right, yeah. Okay. Listen, I think ultimately I'm going to start summing up because we have now been going for an hour.
Okay.
And then we can go on to trivia and we can do our ratings. Ultimately, what I think as well is I think there's some really important messages in this film. There's important messages, I think, about mental health that we've not really gotten too deeply into. We've focused very much on George's life up until, you know, he gets to that point. Whereas, you know, I still think there is that important message in this movie about mental health and about suicide that it's worth talking about. Because for a lot of people, as I said earlier, you know, when, you know, I was trying to, you know, give you some credit, you know, a lot of people do have your perspective on the kind of life that George leaves and thinks that, you know, that's not the life that they would want, and a lot of people would feel down by that. But I think it's also worth knowing that it is very...
That's not what I'm saying.
No. Can I please finish my point?
No, but I'm trying to explain.
Okay, I can't finish
right.
My point. Okay.
No, let me finish for a second.
Well, you can't say let me finish
I'm
when
not
you've
saying,
just literally interrupted my point.
I'm not saying his life is shit. I'm saying his life is shit compared to what he was wanting his life to be.
That's literally what I'm saying. In terms of perspective for a lot of people. That's literally exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying for a lot of people, their perspective on life is that the life that George leads is not the life that they would want.
No, but I'm meaning that it's not what he wanted.
I'm literally not talking about him specifically, though. I'm talking about everyone else. I'm talking about the wider message for everyone else.
Okay.
Oh, now who's getting annoyed?
I'm still fine.
Oh, yeah? You sure? Can I finish my point now?
Go on, lad.
Because I'm talking about the message. I'm talking about the message of the movie. Right? I'm
I
not...
think I'm having a stroke. I smell bacon.
Fuck it,
there's nothing cooking in the house.
Kevin, I fucking hope you are.
Fuck you. Right.
I'm talking about the message of the movie, right? I understand what you're saying about that's what you feel about George and how he feels, but I'm not talking about how he feels. I'm talking about as a viewer, right? And as a viewer, you know, there are many, many people out there who would believe that George's life is not a life to aspire to, right? And there are many, and as I said earlier, you know, there are 99% of people have gone on to lead lives that they never ever thought they were going to leave. And for a lot of them, it does lead to mental health issues. And it's very clear in this movie that George is someone who suffers from mental health issues.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that's an important message. My ultimate, like, this is why I was getting irate about that point, because I was trying to make an important point about mental health and suicide, which is points that are very, very close to my heart.
Yes.
So ultimately, you know, I think it's really, really important just to bring the fact that I think this movie does highlight really important parts about, you know, yes, your life might not be where you want it to be. You may not have made choices that you feel like you should have made. You may make choices that might make other people think that you're a failure. But I think sometimes it's really important to stop and take stock of what you have. And ultimately, you know, he does have a wife who loves him. And he does have a loving family. And he does have a home. And and this is what I was saying earlier. You know, there were people at this time who were drafted and lost their lives at war. And he was able to stay at home and be with his family. And live a relatively comfortable life, right? And for a lot of people out there, a relatively comfortable life is something that they can't even attain. And that's where my point comes.
I think this is a bad thing for the mental health side of it, because he doesn't self-care for himself. He doesn't communicate with his family.
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
That's all the stuff that I don't like as well.
Yeah, I could not, like, finally, Nico, I will agree with you. There are so many points in this movie where he doesn't look after his own mental health. But there's a difference between being selfish about the things that you want to do in life and looking after your own mental health.
Oh, even, I know that, but even though he's not chosen to go, are tied together.
No, 100%. But even though he's not chosen to do the things that he said set out to do with his life, right? There's multiple times where he could have just talked to Mary, where he could have talked to his family, his mum, blah, blah, blah. And all of these things, like, and I'm not saying that that's the sole thing that could have helped him. But there's also, you know, he also gets incredibly drunk, and these are all signs of things that people who are struggling with mental, like, there's loads of different things in there. And it would probably take us a whole other hour if we were to sit and
talk. Well, then, that was a Friday. It was five and dry. Five and drive wasn't even a rule, it was just drive.
That's what I say, it was just drive, yeah. I did find it quite jarring to be like, he's drunk driving, and when people are out there watching this back in 1946, they're probably just like, aye, and?
Like, he's got smashed at a tree for he was pissed. Well, his insurance is not covering up. Oh wait, it is Buck then.
I think as well, there's an important message about Christmas ultimately in this film as well. And I know you said earlier that the majority of this film doesn't even take place at Christmas, blah blah blah. You know, but you know, if Die Hard can be a Christmas film, then so can this. you know,
ho ho ho, motherfucker.
Exactly. I think it's an important message to say, you know, that Christmas is a difficult time for a lot of people out there. And again, that ties into mental health as well, because there are a lot of pressures on people at Christmas time, especially those who potentially struggle for money to, you know, put food on the table, to buy presents for family. You know, the commercialization of Christmas has meant that Christmas is really not a happy time for a lot of people. And I think these are all things that are worth highlighting. And that for a fact that this movie is now almost 80 years old, for those things to still be applicable, if not more so, actually, when you're talking about, you know, the commercialization of Christmas, that's probably more applicable now than it even was back then. You know, I think is testament to this film.
Fair.
Right, I think we finally got onto some common ground there.
So, yeah, right.
Yeah?
The mental health thing, I get it, but this movie, I think, it just shows the bad mental health side. No wonder he feels suicidal the way he reacts with everything.
But I think also you do have to take into account society, the way society was back then as well. Because you know, I'm not saying whether it's, you know, right or wrong or your opinions, but everything, it was up to the man, wasn't it, to look after the family and provide and all that. So there's all those pressures as well. Not saying that that was right, because, you know, that's not right, but that was the way the society was back then.
But the other fact that I think is stupid by him is he takes the blame for the money going missing as well, which is making him feel suicidal.
You know what? I will give you that. Like, I don't think I would have taken the blame for that.
I fucking certainly wouldn't have. I'd be like, have you seen how stupid he is?
Like, there are plenty of things, there's plenty of decisions in this movie that George does that I'd be like, you know what, I would do. Like, I would stay and help the town.
If I was almost in that... every fucking decision, I would have went, nah, boy.
No, I disagree. Like, I think there's a whole chunk of the decisions that I would have made the same as George.
Right.
Let's go through them. List them off.
Right, so what's the first decision? That's an easy one. Saving his brother. Fucking every Marnie's dog wants to think they'll do that.
We would all save our family member from drowning, yes. So that's one where we're... So we'll score this... Right, hold on, I'm going to keep... Right, so agree or disagree, right? So he makes the decision to save his brother, right? We all in agreement that we would do that?
Yes.
Yep, okay.
Yep.
What's the next one?
So what? Next one. What's the next one? I'm trying to remember the order of them. Oh, they fucking try to poison the kid.
Yep, I think we would all agree that we would stop the kid from being poisoned.
That I would have fucking had a go at him there and then instead of fucked off and then would bark, though.
That's fine, but we're all in agreement that you made the right choice to not poison the kid, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Next.
What's the next one? I'm trying to remember the order. You know this movie better than me.
I think the next one... Is the next one not giving up his place in college to Harry so that he could take care of the family business?
Sure, there's one in between there.
Possibly, but it might come to us. But that's
there's someone that makes him stay before that to make him go first, and I can't remember what it is.
Hold on, I'm trying to go through my notes here to see if I can figure it out.
Because I'm sure there's someone in between.
Their father has a stroke, right?
Is that what it is?
I think that's what it is. Because the scene up until that is the scene, you know, we get the famous "What do you want, the moon?" scene.
Oh, yeah. So the dad has a stroke.
Yeah. And then he dies.
He stays to look after his dad. Look after the business.
If that was me, I would also do that.
Nope.
Wow. Okay.
So... I wouldn't look after my father's business. I'd make sure my dad was alright, or he died, but
I think that one also, though, very much depends on the kind of relationship you have with your father, which is incredibly subjective, which I think is worth knowing.
True. Fair. Okay, so I don't agree on that one.
I agree with that, though. So we're 50-50 on that one. So far...
I'd already be in college.
Okay. But you've obviously going along, so you I'm assuming therefore you wouldn't give your place up to Harry.
Well, probably no.
If it was a case of you could only afford for one of you to go to college, you were already sort of hamstrung into the family business, and you still had the opportunity to send your brother to college, you wouldn't do it.
That would be me. That'd be like nah to you.
But again, you've got to take the situation into account. You are already now in charge of the family business. This isn't a case of you haven't got control of that yet. You do. So
but you're the older one.
No, but this is what I'm saying. The option isn't as black and white as either I go to college or you go to college. It's either you go to college or neither of us goes to college. That's his option.
No, it's not. That's the point when it's his option. Business is the way to go under.
That's his option.
No, that's the bit where he's a way to take over the business and sell everything up. So I'd be like, yeah, I'm gone. See you later. Because that's when he gets money. So he'd be getting paid on that. So he could pay for him and his brother to go to college. So yeah, I would have taken that option.
Okay. I disagree.
Well, that's what I would have done.
Okay. Right, what's next?
Building loans is gone. So what's the next one from then? Is it the run of the bank?
I'm really trying to go through. Next one of that is his bagging Mary, which is the one where he makes a selfish decision. And I think we're both in agreement that we would both do that. Yeah.
had a ray of tribal luck before.
Oh, yeah, like, Ken, you will have.
She was naked in a bush, so...
You would have never given her the robe back.
Hey, I would have easily gave her the robe back, but it would have been... like that.
It would have been what?
Like, hello.
You know what's a good thing, Nico? Considering how our last conversation went, is we haven't mentioned Hitler. we haven't mentioned Hitler, Enoch Powell, Jimmy Savile, or Gary Glitter yet today.
There's still time.
There's still time. Okay, so that was his next. That was his next.
So technically, I would have went for that, but I would have went for it before that anyway.
Okay, there's also the decision he makes there to refuse the job with Sam.
Sam.
When he gets offered to go into plastics.
See, but then I would have went for that.
But do you not think at the time, like the phone call, I'm just thinking back to that specific phone call he made. The phone call itself sounds like a little pie in the sky where he's like, put all your money in our stocks. And I'm just like, I'd be very sus about that.
See, the thing about that one is, I'd have stuck some money in, but not all of it.
But he was wanting.
So I'd have like half went on it.
So you'd hedge your bets, kinda.
On that, yeah.
So you're just. I don't think I would give him any money. So we're 50-50 on that one. Okay.
I would, because fucking the boy's obviously minted, so he's marking a killing.
Right. Okay. So the next one is staying. From his honeymoon to stop the run on the bank. Right, we're going to just, like, just for the purposes of this decision, though, just let me clarify, for the purposes yeah. of this choice, the reality of how real the run on the bank is irrelevant.
I know how a run on the bank would have worked, so I would have not even attempted.
I've literally just said it's irrelevant!
No, you're saying... If you were in that circumstances, now he knows what a run in a bank is, but he still goes for it. So I'm just going by what he knows. He knows what a run in a bank is. I would not do that.
Okay, we're in disagreement then. Okay, I'm just trying to run through them now because we are starting to get a little pressed for time.
Okay.
Okay, so rejecting Potter's offer to go and work for him.
That one I don't know about.
It's a lot of money he offers him.
Yeah, and it's an offer too good to be true. Yeah. So it is, I'd what, probably it's, renegotiate.
So I also looked into that as well. So he offers him $20,000 a year, right? Which is more than, still yeah, more
a
than
three, sort of three-year year contract deal, right? As well.
So $200,000 $20,000, sorry, it's believed that scene takes place in 1939, would be worth $372,000 now. So he's essentially offering him $1 million contract. You're
I'd,
right, I'd that's very much something.
If that's his first offer, you've got him by the ballsack. So I probably wouldn't be taking it, but to renegotiate, if that makes sense.
To go for higher.
Yeah.
This is possibly one of the few times where I would agree with you. Because it is something that would seem too good to be true. Suddenly, like, that's your mortal enemy in this movie is suddenly offering you $1 million. You would have to be like, right, what's the catch? So I think you would need renegotiate, make sure you had, like, an iron fucking clad contract.
Yeah. Because you know you've got this cunt by the
nuts. Essentially, at the end of the 3 years, you can go and you could go and reset up any business you want.
But so, then he's not dumb, so he would have had, you can, that in the contract.
Yeah. So,
but he'd still be set for life, so it wouldn't matter.
So that's the one thing I think we're both in a disagreement with, kind of. We're kind of both half in a disagreement. Right?
We agree about not taking that contract, but for different reasons.
So we're actually, we're agreeing with this decision. We just would have. We would
technically
have just,
agreeing with each other, but
we would have just reacted.
We're disagreeing
different.
With you. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. I think that's And then the decision to take the blame for the 8,000. We're both very much in disagreement with that. We would neither one of us would.
Uncle's going to jail.
Right, okay, so I think that's the majority of the major decisions in the movie, right?
So how much?
So we both got one vote each for those decisions. And we disagree, like, so throughout them all, we agree with him over disagreeing with him 2-1.
Most of mine were the ones where I'd have got paid.
So what you're saying is it's all about the money. Money makes the world go round, that's what you're saying.
Exactly.
So that's your whole fucking point. It's all about the money. Right.
Yep.
Okay, now, at this point, Nico, is there anything else about it? So I don't really feel like we've imparted the festive cheer upon our listeners.
It's the most wonderful time.
I also don't think we're going to do that next week either, to be honest. This is supposed to be a happy time.
Fuck that shit.
Right, are you done then? Or shall we move on?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay. Let's talk about some trivia.
I'm sure if we bashed your head in, all sorts of secrets would come tumbling out.
Because regardless of how you feel about this movie, we can't fucking disagree over trivia.
Okay. I'll try.
So we'll start off with the finances. According to IMDb, get this movie had a budget of $3.1 million. Bearing in mind, this is 1940 fucking six. You good there, Nico?
Sorry, I was dying there. Yeah, I was choking on
that. So given that that's approximately about a budget of $45 million in today's money. That's okay. Huge.
So he might bank.
Well, it grossed worldwide only $8.5 million. So it didn't actually, like... Like, that's, again...
How much is that nowadays?
Again, a lot of money. You're looking at about $120. So yeah, you still made a load of fucking money, but you know, when you think about a movie that's got, you know, what did I say, a $35 million, $40 million budget to make $120 million, it's a reasonable success.
It's like that often, quite often. Now.
Yeah, but that's not something you would consider to be a movie that fucking made bank.
I had to switch off the mic, so.
Oh, I thought you turned the fucking lawnmower on, because when you switched it off, all I heard was...
That's weird.
Anyways, but it didn't really make a huge deal of money in the grand scheme of things, is what I'm saying.
Yes.
But it has become a Christmas classic. I believe it's probably now in the public domain.
Is it?
I think so. I could be wrong with that one. Anyways, we're just going to fire through the trivia. So there's a scene earlier in the movie where Uncle Billy is like drunkenly leaving the home in a party. And off screen, we hear him like falling into like some trash cans. That was actually just an accident. It was a crew member dropped a tray of props right after he went off screen. The actor who played Uncle Billy just improvised his lines of, like, I'm all right. And so the director gave the stagehand who dropped the props a bonus of $10 for improving...
Nice, there's $10 for fucking up.
For improving the sound. $10 whole, which, in fairness, is about $150 in today's money. So, like, fair.
Nay bad. What it doesn't say is he got fired then.
Yeah, $150, man. Go fuck yourself. James Stewart was nervous about the phone kiss scene because it was his first on-screen kiss since his return to Hollywood after the war.
And it does look fucking awkward.
He said, Stewart filmed the scene in one unrehearsed take, and it worked so well that part of the embrace had to be cut because it was too passionate to pass the 1940s censors.
Oh.
I bet.
Did he cop a or something?
Oh, I was about to say, he probably slipped in a finger or something. Right up past the knuckle.
To be honest, you'd have seen that coming. Can you imagine trying to get underneath all that layers?
It's like that Frankie Boyle joke about Scottish women in the winter. It's like undoing their buttons. Yeah. And it's like, just another two to go. And I've got my hands on that fleece.
I forgot about that.
So prior to this movie being made, movies generally used cornflakes and painted them white for falling snow effects. But because the cornflakes were so loud, the dialogue would generally then have to be dubbed in later. Director Frank Capra wanted to record the sound live, so they created a brand new snow effect, which was developed using fomite, which is a firefighting chemical, soap and water. And this mixture was then pumped at high pressure through a wind machine and created the silent falling snow. They used 6,000 gallons of the new snow in this film, and the RKO effects department received a Class 3 scientific or technical award from the Academy of Motion Pictures Arts and Sciences for developing new film snow.
And that's where all the money went.
But that's quite an important thing in the development of movies. That's a big thing.
I'm pretty sure it was the 40s. There was a lot of snow going about anyway.
Well, this film was actually filmed in like the heat of summer. Like it was actually filmed during a heat wave. They had to give the actors constant days off because it was so hot while they were filming.
Where was it filmed?
I'm not sure. I want to say Florida.
There's definitely a lot of snow at that time.
But I also could be wrong with that. I probably should have looked that up. It usually tells me where filming locations were. Actually, I'm telling you a lie. It was filmed in California.
Sorry, I'm just making lots of Coke references because they were all coked up back then.
I was wondering what the fuck you were doing. the set for Bedford Falls was constructed. It took 2 months to construct the set, for Bedford Falls. It was one of the longest sets that I'd ever made. The set was 4 acres in size. So they essentially created a village. They created a whole town. It had 75 stores and buildings, a main street, a factory district, and a large residential and slum area.
And people could have used those houses, the bastard.
So that's where the fucking money went. During the filming of It's a Wonderful Life, James Stewart was actively suffering from PTSD and depression due to his service in World War II. He told friends that he related a lot to the character of George Bailey, and some of the scenes where George acted out in anger was considered cathartic for Stewart and his struggles with mental health. So it was something that he was sort of struggling with as well. This movie was under watch from the FBI. In 1947, an FBI analyst submitted, without comment, an addition to a running memo on communist infiltration of the motion picture industry, recording the opinion of an industry source who said that this film's obvious attempt to discredit bankers is a common trick used by communists. So they thought this was like communist propaganda.
Well, it was not wrong for Buck then, so was it? Like the bankers
framed George Bailey for embezzling the $8,000. That Uncle Billy mistakenly placed in his newspaper, which was very, very unusual for a Hollywood film at the time, because the Motion Picture Production Code, which is commonly known as the Hays Code, essentially the code states that it requires criminals in movies must always be shown to either be punished or made to repent at the end of every film, and so because Potter's never shown to have done it either, it breaks the Hays Code, which is a very unusual thing. Anyways.
Yeah.
Nico, have you got any other... Sorry.
He made bank.
Potter! I just got...
He's a cunt, but he made bank.
I just pocketed a random $8,000, didn't he?
I know. Fucking, he's like, I'm gonna screw some Dior on, I've got $8,000 to sell. Here we go.
Yeah. Okay, anything else? Any other bits of trivia, Nico?
No.
Okay, let's move on to our final segment then, which is the ratings and the reviews.
A census taker once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
this where we get angry at each other again?
You're gonna explode at me, yeah.
Yeah. Makes a difference. I usually explode on you. What? Well, as always, we'll start off with the critics.
I look for young.
All right. We'll start off with the critics' scores. IMDb rated this movie an 8.6 out of 10. Metacritic has this at an 8.9. Nico, what do you think the Rotten Tomatoes critics and audience scored this movie?
Probably high, because folk are suckers. So 80%.
For both?
Yeah.
Rotten Tomatoes critics scored this movie 94% fresh, with the Rotten Tomatoes audience scoring it 95%. Critics' consensus, the holiday classic to define all holiday classics. It's a Wonderful Life is one of a handful of films worth an annual viewing.
Yeah, they can be wrong, it's fine.
Not everyone. Everyone can't be wrong, Nico.
Eh, all humbug.
As always, we throw it out to our listeners and ask you for your opinions. So here's just a few of them. The House That Screams Horror podcast, Candy over there, gives it a 10 out of 10. I'm an old movie buff, and this is such a beautiful film. Not originally made to be a Christmas film. Acting is top-notch, and casting is perfect. Atomic Garden also gives it a 10 out of 10. It's a Christmas Eve tradition for my brother and I to have a happy cry to the ending. Floods of tears from I Wanna Live Again onwards. Chat Tsunami gives it a 10 out of 10. We spoke about it in our own episode, but this is a beautiful film with a timeless message, captures the Christmas spirit more than a Ghostbuster in A Christmas Carol, and proves that life is a special thing to be treasured. That and the acting is brilliant. Movies for Days, our friend Newman at the Movies for Days podcast, also gives it a 10 out of 10. It's my favourite film to be made before 1950. The acting is tender, the story is rich. Sounds like he's describing a fucking Christmas turkey. The characters are relatable, memorable, and fun. The writing is sharp, clever, and has sentiment that breaks through and works. The themes, message of this have informed much of my outlook of the world. And finally, the Slasher Trash...
The marsh is creamy.
And finally, the Slasher Trash podcast gives it a 6 out of 10. A bit boring at times. Could have used more gore. That'd have been fine if just like George had a leg blown off in the middle for no reason.
Well, his ear bleeds after he gets slapped about in that fucking store.
His lip bleeds when he gets into the bar fight.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of blood in this. Probably more blood in this than there is in fucking Halloween.
Probably.
Anyways, all of your scores means that our listeners gave this movie an average score of 9.3 out of 10. So that just leaves me and you, Nico, on a scale of 0 to 10. What are you rating It's a Wonderful Life?
So, as was said, the movie is actually well acted. It is a Christmas classic, but it just doesn't touch anything for me. So just on the merit of the film being a good film, that's it. I give it a 6 out of 10.
Okay. You know what? I respect that decision, because I think had you given this like a 2, I think I would be upset with you, because
I never said it was a bad movie. I just said he's a fucking dick.
We're not getting into it again.
I think the sentiment behind it is misplaced, and everyone is a sucker for it. That's my opinion on it.
I think that's where I have issues. I think your language that you use to describe people who see sentiment in this movie, I think is mildly offensive.
Fair enough.
Because I believe that everyone has their own right to see whatever sentiment they want in a film.
Okay.
Especially when it revolves around the kind of themes that's in this movie.
The help everyone and it'll come back to you tenfold never got me at all.
That's not what I'm saying.
Okay.
But with that being said...
Where's your 10?
With that being said, I agree with the fact that I think this is incredibly well acted as well. I, however, do see a great deal of merit in this movie and in the messages that they try and convey. And I think it's important, very, very important things that they deal with. Which I think you'll find actually that it's maybe not to the extreme of sort of suicide, but a lot of Christmas films, like when you will sit down and analyze them, do deal with depression. Like there are a lot of them, you know, even if you think about it, whatever one, you know, are dealing with people who are really struggling at Christmas time. So it is a common theme. But it's obviously, you know, one of the classics and one of the earlier examples of it. And I think it is, it's rightfully for me, one of the classics of all classics. It's one of the Christmas films that will get a yearly viewing from me. There's only about four or five of them that I will watch every single year. And it's a very bizarre list. It's probably the most serious one on the list. I think every year I will watch this. I will watch Elf. I will watch Love Actually every year. I will watch A Muppet's Christmas Carol every year.
Okay.
And I'll watch one of the Home Alone movies every year.
Apart from Home Alone, the same. Because last year we missed it.
But you would normally watch a Home Alone.
Normally, yeah.
Yeah, so you can still count it. Just because it's something I generally watch every year doesn't mean there hasn't been years when I've missed them, so...
But the only one you missed off of my list that I'll definitely watch is Scrooged.
Oh. Not Die Hard.
Die Hard as well, but that's the start of the year.
Anyways, with all that being said, because I've not given my score yet, it's a 9.5 out of 10 for me.
You fucking... You're that wounded when I was talking about it and you give it a 9.5, you hypocrite.
I was giving it a 9.5 anyway. With that being said, all of our scores, combined with the critic scores and our listener scores, gives It's a Wonderful Life an average score of 8.7 out of 10. It puts it in first place on our leaderboard of one non-horror movies. If it was to go into our horror movie ratings, it would sit in the top five.
Good job, it is.
So, well, yeah, it's just number one, isn't it?
Yeah, it'll still be number one after the next one, because the next one's shit.
Yeah, the next one is shit. There is no fucking getting away from that. The next one is not going to overtake this. Anyways.
It's so horrific.
That is, that's going to do it for this episode. Nico, I think once again, we should probably remind everyone that we are friends.
So when are we meeting up for a beer? Because we haven't had a Christmas beer in ages.
When we can. We'll sort it out when... We'll sort it out when we're not on air.
Is it going to be in between Christmas and New Year when we're both off?
Probably.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
Probably. Anyways, Nico, thank you for joining me. I say thank you for joining me. That's just the sentiment that I put out for the episode, but you know my true feelings.
You're like, I fucking hate you for talking like that way about my favourite Christmas movie.
Next year, we're just going... We're not doing Christmas next year.
I like Christmas movies, I do, but it's this was depressing, not feel good, in my opinion.
I don't believe it says anywhere that Christmas movies have to be feel good.
No, I know, but this is like, yeah.
Anyways, we're no longer talking. We're no longer talking about the movie, Nico. We've done that for the past hour and a half. We're now just, you know, saying our goodbyes.
Okay. Bye.
Well, not yet. Don't forget, if you would like to support this podcast, you can follow us on Twitter. Damn it! You can follow us on X at Damned Podcast. Follow us on Facebook or Instagram at Pod of the Damned. Email us at podofthedamned@gmail.com or subscribe to us on Patreon, patreon.com/podofthedamned. Nico, what are we doing next week?
Crack.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll need to meet up with you before then to get some off you.
Okay.
Okay. We're doing Dark Angel.
I forgot it's Christmas. We'll get snow instead. Okay. Yes, we're doing Dark Angel.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
Yeah. Genuinely, if I wasn't speaking about this the week before, I would have never picked it.
Yeah, I'm kind of wishing you didn't.
I forgot how bad it was.
Yeah, it's bad. Anyways, don't forget, if you're...
The definition of a bad 80s movie.
If you're watching this episode live, we'll be back in just a couple of hours. Me and Anna are going to be talking about our final horror review of the year, which is The Woman in Black. That's going to go live at 8 p.m. So go, like, come back, come and see us then as well. That's going to be the next episode that's going to get released on the podcast, which is going to drop on Sunday. And then this episode, for those of you that's live, is going to drop on the podcast next week. So yeah, I think that's us pretty sorted. And like I say, we're doing Dark Angel next week. Then Nico, after that, that's it for movie reviews for this year. We'll have just one episode to go after that, which will be our end of year awards. Voting is well underway for all of those. All of our categories are now, at the very least, into their quarterfinal stage. Some are in their semi-final stage, so we'll be getting results through for them within the next week or so. And then we'll do our end of year awards. And then we start off 2024 with our 100th episode, which I think we might just do a Q&A thing, to be honest.
Are we? I thought we were going to do that movie we talked about.
Did we talk about a movie? I've forgotten.
Yeah, for the 100th.
I've forgotten that conversation.
I'll talk to you off air about that then.
Because I've forgotten that conversation. I think we'll do... I think we can.
Talked
I think...
about the movie that we thought would go number one.
No, I don't remember that. Anyways,
I'll talk to you off air.
I think we can do like a I think we can do like a combination of things, because I think we can do like maybe we could do a little movie review, do a little Q&A, do a little quiz, and have a little celebration. Anyways,
okay.
Thank you, Nico, once again for joining me. Thank you to everyone who's joined us live, and thank you to everyone who's downloaded us on the podcast. And until next week on the Pod of the Damned, just remember, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.